gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Ooh, I just did a huge belch for the Ustream crowd. Oh, enjoy, chat room. Enjoy. Now it's the delicate lady like me that's on the air.
Yeah, right.
StephanieMiller.com. You can email us all. Executive producer, Crystal Boy Voice, Deity, Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. Representative Jim Moran, our buddy, our pal, on the big show today from the great state of Virginia. And sexy liberal Hal Sparks in hour number three. Right over there, live in studio. All right, you can email us all there. Interesting, James in L.A. writes, "Hi, guys. Listening to the show yesterday, it occurred to me as a Canadian in the U.S. for 25 years, there's a common thread between American gun violence and the criticism of the Obama administration's handling of Syria. It appears some Americans see the settlement of issues without violence as a loss." Talking to you, Lindsey Graham. "It's only through the demonstration of physical superiority by violent means that a satisfying conclusion is reached. In other cultures, the highest respect is given to those who can resolve disputes peacefully, while here it is derided as weakness." James in L.A. Thank you, James.
Good point.
Yeah, we were saying just as the headline
in
is...
In Canada!
Iran confirms that, you know, that they're exchanging letters with Obama, may give up their nuclear program in exchange for getting rid of sanctions. And Lindsey Graham literally is like...
That's not manly enough. Come on. Oh, I'm getting the vapors. Oh, my God.
Literally
balls.
Is putting forward a resolution to use force against Iran.
Yeah, idiot.
Really? Really, Senator Butch?
Finally, there's an opening to...
Oh, for God's sakes.
Maybe have an ally again in Iran.
Yes.
Which
yes.
We did
a moderate
we
leader. Aye. Yeah. But anyway, and that's why we're going to talk to Jim Moran, because I... This is what I was saying. Anybody that thinks Obama is pro-war has not been paying attention. It's like this is exactly what he wanted, and the UN report that came out yesterday proves exactly everything he's been saying. And it's just anyway, Jim Moran was on MSNBC last weekend talking sense, and we wanted to speak to him. Sexy liberal Hal Sparks, of course, we cannot wait to see as usual. So and then I think I'm insane when I'm watching. First of all, the first words out of Rush Limbaugh's mouth yesterday: any kind of sympathy for the victims? Anything?
Oh God, no.
George, for you, literally, not even hello, hi, I'm load of blubber in front of the gold microphone or whatever he normally says first. Excellence and whatever, conservative something.
Whatever.
Something. Right out of the box, he goes, oh, joy you are, gun control people this morning, one word, Colorado.
Huh?
What? Oh, my
The two
God.
Democratic senators that were recalled because of voting for gun control. And first of all, can I just say, let's not be cowed by that. That is a load of crap. People in Colorado largely vote by mail. They made sure they suppressed that. There was many reports of voter intimidation.
Of course.
The fact that the NRA can gin up their crazy base to turn out in one recall election does not mean this issue is lost forever. I get it that it's hard, but... I'm listening to the press conference. Did you see the CNN Jim Acosta? This is the question he asked Jay Carney yesterday at the briefing.
Mm-hmm.
Navy Yard, Newtown, Tucson, Aurora, Fort Hood. Is the president concerned that his administration will be marked by an inability to resolve this issue of mass shooting? Thanks, Obama. Really? Really?
Wow.
President Obama's to blame for the rash of
violence.
Shootings. Right.
Because he's black, you know, obviously.
Oh, my God. I mean, really?
Again, you know what?
Are you not paying attention to who is pro-gun control and who is not?
God.
Yeah, it's the president that's to blame for the
The presidents have the most to lose from gun violence.
Right.
It's happened a lot in this country.
And he has put forward more meaningful gun control.
Yeah. Yeah.
Solutions than any other president, which of course the Republicans, in a almost solid wall, voted against. I mean, I'm just the fact that they even ask these questions. I'm just.
Well, you know.
You know what? But seriously, Jim, the mainstream media, the president's a bumbling idiot on Syria and got lucky into this thing, and he's to blame for all this gun. Why won't he do anything about?
Why has he stopped the gun violence? Why didn't he just do? Decree that guns shall disappear from the face of the earth.
Can we just put to rest this liberal media forever? As somebody pointed out yesterday, they were cheerleaders for George Bush in the Iraq invasion.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Katie Couric, Navy SEALs, rock, and here we go, and shock and awe. And
yeah. And then Ashley Banfield
was
sent out
of the
cornfield for actually doing some real reporting.
Right. And guess who was one of the very few Democrats that was smart enough to be against this way before anyone else was, not just Jim Ward? President Obama, when he was before he was president. Oh. Anyway, and now
we have the exact mirror opposite.
Right, exactly.
Wow.
Huh?
Wow.
I said it right.
Wow.
You did.
Now that was you stumbled into by accident. But, yeah, I just, the whole thing makes me just insane. I what is this whole storyline that's, this is the exact mirror opposite of Iraq. We have a stunning diplomatic solution without firing a shot.
Well, that's not very manly. Lindsey Graham is not impressed.
Literally, it's like he's too disappointed. He has to make sure we have a chance to go to war with Iran now. Like, oh, well, this didn't work out like I hoped. Oh.
Do you remember?
And John McCain, there he is grumbling this weekend. It's not a policy. What about what happened to Assad has to go? What happened to that? You just hold on, Grampy. Just stay sitting on the pie in the back seat. Then that might happen, but we're not going to get...
I sure hope so.
Careful of the apple pie on the seat.
Uh-oh!
Grandpa, are you sitting on the pie?
I sure hope so.
Anyway, point is that we wouldn't get the weapons that way. You know what I mean? It's like, and the president said, yes, the goal is still for him to go, but this is something for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Putin doesn't want chemical weapons floating around, so Chechens, Chechens get them. Like, I could even say that properly.
Chechens.
That sounds exactly the same whether you're drunk or sober.
It kind of does.
Which is a good word for me.
Oh, those Chechens. That's the problem.
And we don't want them floating around because of Al-Qaeda and them falling into the wrong hands. So this is the best solution anybody could have hoped for now. You know, it may, in fact, weaken him that he goes at some point. But literally, is there anything Grampy will not criticize about the way this president did something?
That's the one good thing about Russia is that we still have mutual assured destruction. They're no longer the Soviet Union, but it's not in either country's interest to start a nuclear war.
Thank you.
But why are we still sending the rebels?
I don't know. I don't understand.
I don't get that.
Fine American Jeffrey in Jeff in LaClaire in LaClaire, Iowa.
LaClaire.
LaClaire.
Eau Claire, you mean?
No, LaClaire.
Eclair.
Eclair. Eclair. Oh, that's like that one down.
In Profiterole, Iowa.
Cronut, Iowa.
Right, Steph, let me get this straight. The Republicans who supported Mitt Romney when he said he would send troops to Syria suddenly opposed any military action against Syria once Obama proposed it. As Bill Maher would say, yes, they black-tracked.
Yes.
The same Republicans who said they didn't want Obama to attack Syria now call Obama a failure because he didn't attack Syria. The same people who said there was no proof that the Syrian army used chemical weapons are now angry that we didn't attack the Syrian army. The people who call Obama a failure for not attacking Syria now praise Vladimir Putin for stopping Obama from attacking Syria. But perhaps worst of all, the liberals who were calling Obama a warmonger now refuse to give him any credit for, without firing a shot, successfully getting Assad to give up his chemical weapons, which he claimed he never had. Thank you, Jeff. You are the smartest boy in class. Okay, back to the press conference with Jay Carney, having to answer this question about, aren't all these mass shootings really President Obama's fault? Isn't he concerned that...
Why didn't somebody fix all the problems?
That would not be a good job for me. I would not have the impulse control to answer that question diplomatically. Jay Carney, however, said, the president believes and I think has shown that we ought to do everything we can to implement common sense measures to reduce gun violence in America. Carney added the president has not, in the least, hidden his displeasure and disappointment in Congress for his failure to pass legislation that's supported by 80-90% of the American people. He said, I think your question should be addressed to those senators who chose to ignore the will of their constituents, ignore the will of the American people, because I believe that 85% of Democrats or more voted for, am I right, 85%? Maybe 90% of Senate Democrats voted for it? What percentage of Republicans voted for it? What percentage of Republicans?
Zee-doo-dah.
Yeah, the problem here is not the Democrats. The problem here is senators overwhelmingly from one party who refuse to do something very simple, which is to expand the background check system that everyone believes functions well but needs to function better. It's their choice. These questions should be addressed to those senators. Thank you, Jay Carney.
Why hasn't Obama fixed all the problems?
Why are you hitting yourself? I heard Reince Priebus.
Reince Priebus?
Right.
Hello, I whined.
Some dip radio show. Oh, Hugh Hewitt. That's
yes.
Hugh.
The guy's so nice, they named him twice.
Right.
Sounds like your old car.
Literally having a conversation. Literally having a conversation. Why is the president for government shut down?
But he's not.
Really? And France Priebus is agreeing. Well, yeah, I guess he is. Hewitt's very sad. I don't really know.
He's just a bad man. He's a very bad man. I'm going to miss him out in the quarantine.
It would be crazy, and I don't want to shut down the government.
Who would want to do that?
I mean, it really is like an upside-down world.
Sure.
And then the other big thing yesterday, I think we even had the few right-wing whacks that got through to talk to us yesterday are like, well, you know, it's funny how all this happens in these gun-free zones. Really? A military
base? Military base, yeah. Gun-free
really?
Zone.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Oh, I mean, every single... And then I knew that was a talking point, because remember, I got that email yesterday about, oh, how come the president say if I had a son, he would look like Aaron elected? Oh, really, people? Really? We are a nation in grave danger of injuring ourselves eating pudding with rubber spoons at this point. I mean,
oh, and now there's a right-wing meme going around that President Clinton in 1993 banned guns on military bases.
No.
Right. And that's how he was able to get several guns off of people that he'd already killed to kill other
people. Exactly.
He banned torpedoes.
That's actually a truism.
What? Yeah. There was actually a bunch of...
On right-wing internet sites.
Oh, my God. A bunch of good guys with guns there, actually.
Yeah.
Banning guns on a military base.
That are now dead good guys who had guns. Okay. I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed by everything today, including myself.
Uh-oh.
All right, 17 minutes after the hour, we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I don't have enough energy to jump.
Oh, who's an achy boy?
I'm feeling sick, but you made me come to work today.
Louis Nicky, of course I did. I have no sympathy for you. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-RUNDOFF. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. What's that, Jim?
What if we both get sick then? There's no show.
I will just be talking to myself in my little padded room.
At least I have job security.
Let's not make you feel worse. Now, listen, as we're all frustrated, yet again about any lack of, meaningful gun control measures, I'm just reading a headline, and for the first thing that pops up, Republicans pressure Boehner on vote to delay and defund Obamacare. So they're hoping to get more mental health taken away from people.
Sure.
Right.
We need more crazy people in
yes.
more guns.
Yes.
Good plan.
Yes. Okay. We've been talking about the stuff that like clockwork is out there among the right wing. Salon with a piece. Gun nuts peddle gruesome lies in the face of tragedy.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say this is probably a poor choice of words, but they're so easily shot down there. I mean, they're so easily disprovable,
sure.
right? Like, can't you go with something that seems a little more really? The latest twist, Salon writes on their gruesome partisan rationalization is to blame the Navy Yard shootings on the fact that the area was a gun-free zone
sure.
within a city of tight gun control restrictions. This plainly ignores the facts and dishonors those killed. It is likely several of those on the scene, including potentially several victims, were highly trained and armed military police officers.
Yeah. The D.C. police chief said yesterday that security forces on the base itself were the first to start shooting at them. That doesn't sound like a gun-free zone to me.
No.
And, in fact, that's what they were saying. It looks, and again, reports are preliminary, but that's where he got the AR-15. It was
mm-hmm.
somebody else's.
Yep.
He came in with a long gun, which he was able to buy last week.
Mm-hmm. Legally, in Virginia.
And a handgun. And then... took the AR-15 from somebody that he killed, a good guy with a gun. according to a comprehensive study by Mother Jones, we've talked about this before, in the past 30 years, not a single mass shooting, ladies and gentlemen, not a single mass shooting was stopped by an armed civilian.
Yeah.
Less than a quarter of mass shootings in the last 4 years occurred in gun-free zones. Moreover, according to the Mother Jones study, there is not a single piece of evidence that any shooters deliberately chose to target locations where guns were prohibited. And then we talked about the study, I think, by the New York Times that Salon cites today. Highly trained New York City police officers who discharged their guns in public hit their intended targets only 34% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
To put it differently, the police missed their targets and hit something else 2 out of every 3 shots.
Something else being...
Right. Civilians, right. Whatever. Right. Now imagine even the best-trained amateur gun owners and what their record might be. The same day... You know, it's funny. I heard a clip yesterday of O'Reilly asking Bob Costa. Costas, remember when he was... Yeah. He said, it was right after Aurora. He said, let me ask you something. Wouldn't you have rather, if you were in that theater, wouldn't you have rather had a gun? Bob Costa was like, no, it was dark.
Who am I going to shoot?
If more people had guns, more people would be dead now.
Yeah. But bullets just hit bad guys. They're trained to do it.
God. What?
No.
Yes. Well, we know Bill O'Reilly would have done it live. He would have just taken a precision. He would have been like a sharpshooter.
Do it live!
Right.
I'll write it, and we'll do it live! Thing sucks!
And at least he has no anger management problems of any kind. He should be armed at all times. By the way, we had talked about this back then, but Salon points out again that the same day of the Sandy Hook shooting, did you know this? In Newtown, a man also unleashed a massacre in an elementary school in China. I forgot it was the exact same day.
Mm.
The difference, he had a machete and not a gun. In China, that day, 22 children were injured. None died. For 22 families, that's a world of difference. The same day that 26 people were killed in Newtown. I mean, and that is the point when we talk about, you know, the difference around the world. We just mentioned again yesterday video games in Japan. And I stand corrected. It is not single-digit deaths. 11. Japan had 11 gun deaths in the last year that it was recorded.
That changes everything.
I regret the error.
It's 2 digits.
Huh. Right. I was 2 people off, and I apologize for the hyperbole I engaged in. That's the difference between right-wing lies and they're just wrong. Actually, it's a gun-free zone. No, it's not. You morons, it's
from
either...
From now on, we're only engaging low-perbole.
I was now... I'll be on Newsbusters because I was 2 people off and... Gun deaths in Japan.
Aha!
Yes,
it's not my crazy lefty liberal talk show host.
Claims Japan had single-digit gun deaths. The fact is, the Salon writes, there are 12 more Americans dead because of an all-too-easy availability of dangerous weapons to dangerous people. The fact is, the American people, including sensible gun owners, overwhelmingly support increased regulation in the face of such atrocities. The fact is, in the wake of an increase in such mass shootings, the only thing Republicans in Congress have done is increase their legislative obstructionism. You know, Salon writing, enough is enough already. Let's stop making excuses and start making changes in our lax gun laws now. But, you know, obviously, a lot of people don't have a lot of hope on that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's like clockwork. Diane Feinstein puts out her statement, you know, the NRA will lay low, right, for another day.
They usually lay low for about 48 hours after... But they've been working, like, behind the scenes, sending out emails to, you know.
Oh, yeah, that nifty offer of a free pocket knife.
Yeah.
Should any of your, you know, victims survive the shooting.
Now gun activists are mad they can't bring assault rifles into a crowded farmer's market. Because what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
Now they're going to sue because they weren't allowed to bring their assault rifles into a farmer's market. What, are you going to shoot a watermelon? What? You need...
Boy. Okay.
30 rounds to kill a watermelon?
Jay Carney said yesterday we all witnessed the power of narrow special interests to influence a vote against the will of 80 to 90% of the American people. And that's the world we live in, but we have to keep pressing forward. He said the problem lies overwhelmingly with the Republican Party, as I mentioned before.
America! F yeah!
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we will talk more about Aaron Alexis. He suffered a host of serious mental issues, including paranoia and sleep disorder, and had been hearing voices.
Great.
Which is no different than Jim, and thank God Jim is not armed.
That's true.
Everyone in morning radio has sleep disorders.
I'm actually causing the voices.
And paranoia.
With, you know, because of the sleep disorder.
Oh, right. Well, you're an impressionist. You're a mimic.
And,
all right.
And he does voices in video games.
Right. Aha! It's all my fault.
They're funny voices.
Yeah.
Right back.
Look at her, Steve. That is the most tasty, low-fat Stephanie Miller ever.
Hey, Thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. Jim was reading about
some preacher carried AR-15 into a Walmart, and some other guy was carrying an AR-15 in a JCPenney because he wanted to protect himself against gun lords and drug runners.
Right.
And flying
who hold their
blue
meetings.
Monkeys or
right.
something. It's just insane.
Who hold their meetings at JCPenney?
JCPenney?
A well-known drug lord.
You're going to be attacked by underwear? What?
There's tidy whities. You're looking at me funny.
Yeah. Dear God.
I don't even know where there is a JCPenney.
Yeah, I don't either.
I know where one used to be.
They all seem to have closed down.
Oh, boy.
Drug lords at JCPenney. Okay,
you might find Ellen DeGeneres there, but...
Yes, no.
Not anymore.
No. by the way, Jim, which voices do you hear in your head? Which funny voices do you hear when you hear voices, just out of curiosity? By the way...
Hey, upstairs, you know, downstairs. Hey, what's the matter with you?
Hmm? See? And he is... Well, and anyone in my radio has a sleep disorder.
Yes. So,
right. some...
Swordfish.
And he has anger issues.
Right.
Don't tell me you have anger issues.
You need a total
Sometimes
transformation, mister.
I just go berserk.
Okay. Ironically and sadly, some congressional Democrats and family members of shooting victims plan to gather today at the Capitol to call for background check legislation. The trip was organized by the Newtown Action Alliance, which was previously planned. So it just happened to run up against another mass shooting. All our mass shootings are kind of, you know.
Running together.
Yes. So that just the timing happened to be today because they were... I know, it's crazy. Kind of a little upset still about the last one. Yeah. About all the, you know, remember the school kids getting... Oh, I heard, yeah, great fact yesterday that all of these, what are they, about 6 years old, were mm-hmm. shot at least 10 times. Yeah. Because, as you know, we had an AK, the AR-15. Right.
Yeah. Well, at least you didn't use a commie gun.
Right. All right. Wow. So I was reading the headline in the L.A. Times yesterday. Mm-hmm. Aaron Alexis, an adept Buddhist, an angry man with a gun.
That's not much of a Buddhist.
Yeah, it, as we said yesterday, it obviously didn't take.
Yeah.
An adept Buddhist chanter. He was good at the Buddhist chanting. Yeah, that's
good.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
To Christy, I cannot say her last name, but they own the Thai restaurant. Mm.
I doubt that's how you pronounce that.
Well, S-U-T-H-A-M-T-E-W-A-K-U-L.
You might accidentally say something obscene in Thai.
Right, right, right. Aaron Alexis was a gentle young man who taught himself to speak Thai for his waiter's job and chanted Thai prayers at a Buddhist temple.
Well, that's so far so good.
Yes, right, right. He apparently knows how to say Pad Wun Sen and Pad Thai. In Thai.
Sawadika.
Right. Alexis wore a golden amulet of Buddha around his neck, she recalled, and yet also carried a concealed 45 caliber handgun.
As you Buddhists do, though. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A bundle of contradictions. Okay. To a Fort Worth neighbor and Seattle construction worker, Alexis was a brooding, menacing figure quick to brandish and fire a gun. There was nothing sinister about him, said the Summa. Who helped run her family's Thai restaurant outside Fort Worth, where Alexis worked as a waiter and a delivery man.
Well, I guess that he's a Texas Buddhist. So.
I order Thai food a lot. See, this could have been the guy that brought my Pad Wun Sen. Love yeah. Pad Wun Sen. That's not important now. She recalled Alexis celebrating Christmas and New Year's with her and her husband, singing a karaoke version of I Can't Help Falling in Love with You. Wow, this is quite a number of... odd random facts.
Wow.
Alexis was generally easygoing, she said in an interview with the family restaurant called The Happy Bowl in White Settlement.
In White right. Settlement?
Right.
That's the name of a town?
Yes.
Wow.
Where is this?
I guess in Texas.
Oh my God.
It's just outside of Herp Therp.
Wow. Okay.
Really?
But he...
Maybe there's a family named White who created a settlement.
Maybe. The Happy Bowl. Okay.
The not-so-happy bowl.
He bristled, though, when describing his service in the Navy and the benefits he believed had been withheld. He just felt slighted by what he was getting each month, she said. He was frustrated that he couldn't contribute more to household bills when he was living with her and her husband, who he met at a Buddhist temple. He was upset, but not to the degree that he would do something like this, she said. I'm still really confused. But the husband said Alexis drank alcohol, always carried a gun, and acted childish, not like a 34-year-old. Federal agents interviewed him about Alexis on Monday. He said, I told him I didn't see any sign, except for the fact that he was always drunk and carrying a gun. Alexis seemed to hold grudges. He was upset over the salary dispute with his employer, a government subcontractor called the experts. Yes, Chris.
No, I had to Google White Settlement to find out if it was named.
Did you find the Happy Bowl in White Settlement?
No, I didn't. But the name of White Settlement originated as a result of there being two settlements in the area. One occupied predominantly by Native Americans, and the other one being occupied by the whites.
Sure.
Yeah, in 2005, city leaders announced a plan to have local voters decide on a possible name change for the town to West Settlement, but the name change was overwhelmingly rejected.
My heart would soar like a hawk if you would naff off.
Wow.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm fascinated.
Did they want to call it? Don't tell me. Did they want to call it Red Settlement? Other.
Oh, I don't.
Okay. You know what?
I didn't research
names
that.
In Texas. Let's just move on. Okay. Alexis was investigated by police in Fort Worth and Seattle for firing a handgun in incidents involving disputes with a neighbor and a construction worker. He also had a string of Navy disciplinary infractions leading up to his discharge in January 2011. This was what we talked about yesterday. A woman who lived upstairs in Fort Worth told police that he had harangued her about supposed noises coming from her apartment and confronted her in the parking lot. Police said Alexis fired a shot into the woman's floor from his apartment below. He told police his handgun had gone off while he was cleaning it. But the woman obviously thought the shooting was deliberate. The police report said she is terrified of Aaron and feels this was done intentionally. In Seattle, 2004, a construction worker told police that Alexis has stared at him and fell at workers every day for a month.
Wow.
And occasionally brandished a handgun. Oh, nothing out of the ordinary.
While drunk.
At a construction site next to Alexis's residence. The worker said he'd never spoken to Alexis, but Alexis suddenly fired three shots from a Glock 30 handgun into the worker's parked car. One day in 2004, Alexis later told police the worker had mocked and disrespected him. He said he experienced an anger-fueled blackout. Oh, good.
Oh, boy.
And did not recall the shooting until an hour later. Seattle police said Alexis' father told him his son had anger management problems. Yeah, then there was this part. Alexis said he had been present during the September 11th attacks, and those events had disturbed him. He was arrested in both shooting cases, not prosecuted. The Thai restaurant owner said Alexis had expressed anger about September 11th to her, but he was angry at terrorists. The way he talked about 9/11, he didn't seem like the kind of person to do this. There was no way I could have foreseen this.
So, to protest terrorism, he became a terrorist.
Would have been like to be a fly on the wall at the Happy Bowl between those discussions of the husband going, yeah, well, honey, you know, he is drunken with a gun a lot. She's like, no, seems like a nice feller.
Kind of kept to himself.
He's
angry, drunk, and armed. What could possibly go wrong?
This is my theory that serial killers always live next door to the dumbest people ever.
He seemed like a nice feller.
He's such a good chanter.
Eric on Twitter would like to point out that Buddhists don't own guns or drink alcohol.
Right. He's a really crappy Buddhist.
Yeah, he was not good at that.
Yeah.
Mike, somebody of Saginaw, Texas, said he knew Alexis was troubled by his attraction to first-person shooter video games. If he had anything bad about him, he was a 35-year-old man playing video games.
Oh, so it's my fault now.
Yeah, it's your fault because you voice video games. Listen, we had a caller yesterday that said it's always men. I'm ready to. Well, I've already banned men from certain areas.
Did you hear what Elizabeth Hasselbeck said yesterday on Fox and Friends?
Let's ban video games, guns, and men.
She said we don't need a gun registry. We need a video game registry.
Oh, for God's sake!
Do you agree with her, Stephanie?
What a nitwit.
No. I hate video games though, and I hate violent movies, and I don't engage in any of it.
Okay.
I don't know what to do about it. I think it's a piece of this though. Anyway, specifically Jim Moore, because he voices them. At a Buddhist temple outside Fort Worth, two monks chatted quietly with congregants who recalled Alexis from his worship at the temple and could not reconcile with him, the man accused of a mass shooting. One man said he met Alexis about 5 years ago when Alexis was still in the Navy. He told me he believed he had superior abilities to his coworkers, but he didn't get promoted. He complained about the rank and file not giving him respect. This is the right one. We'll be all over this today. Alexis felt discriminated against because he was black, he said. He eventually planned to become a Buddhist monk. He planned to become a Buddhist monk, Alexis. Mm. Yeah. Mm. He was adept in chanting in Thai. He chanted better than me, said the God, he was a very devoted Buddhist.
Yeah, not so much.
Buddhism teaches forgiveness, not grudges. That's why we're so shocked. Yeah, as we said, not...
Plus, they don't drink or really. Own weapons.
Pardon me?
They don't drink or own weapons.
Right, generally. So. Generally speaking, yeah. It's not a Buddhist thing.
No.
Okay, FBI yesterday.
We believe that Mr. Alexis entered building 197 at the Navy Yard with a shotgun.
That he's able to buy last week.
There were early media reports that he used the AR-15, but he didn't actually use it. He just used the shotgun.
Right, he took the AR-15 from someone he killed, presumably.
Presumably, right. That's what they're thinking.
Okay. The FBI again. Yes,
Mr. Alexis had legitimate access to the Navy Yard as a result of his work as a contractor, and he utilized a valid pass to gain entry to the building.
Yeah. So that's something we need to check into as well. Because that's the thing, that he could pass background checks to that degree. Even, I mean, not, you know, I'm not talking about, obviously there's no gun background checks of any kind. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, to get clearance like that, to get into a government building. Anyway, all right, more back with all of the latest on this. We continue 45 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Where the party's at, and you find out if you do that. I want a place to stay. Get your booty on the floor tonight. Make my day.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it 50 minutes after the hour. Just to make ourselves feel better, just from the International House of Dumb Shootings.
Okay.
Yes. Another argument over Kant.
Kant. Sorry, what?
Kant.
The philosopher Kant.
Immanuel Kant.
Immanuel Kant.
I can't say that word.
Man shot in Russia in argument over Kant. An argument over the theories of 18th century philosopher Immanuel Kant ended in a man being shot in a grocery store in southern Russia. Can I just say one thing? I don't think our arguments in America that ended shootings are generally that intellectual.
You don't hear that in a Walmart, generally.
Really? What else you got to say about Jean-Paul Sartre? Nothing. See? Bam! See, because he wrote about nothingness. Okay. A fight broke out between two men as they argued over the German author of Critique of Pure Reason without giving details of their debate. Well, I would like some details about who had the better points. In the course of the fight, the suspect took out a pistol firing rubber bullets and fired several shots at his opponent. Well, see, now he's fine because it was only rubber bullets.
Oh, well, you can still kill someone with rubber bullets.
Yeah, they can do a lot of damage.
You hit someone in the solar plexus.
A really bad infection.
Sorry,
just saying, at least it's a better version. At least they're having a smart intellectual argument, and they are non-lethal bullets. Just saying. Measures, people. Couldn't we try some of them here?
It's not like they're Nerf bullets. They can hurt.
Don't get me started on Leibniz.
I don't know if, like, different philosophers, if there would be a more lethal bullet generally used. I don't really know. But there's been any studies done regarding that.
Voltaire wouldn't have shot anyone.
No.
No.
Or even what about a Kafka bullet?
Well, he's not a philosopher.
He put some philosophy out there.
All right. Stelle in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Stelle.
Hello. How about a gun owner DUI?
Ah, interesting.
Oh.
Anybody does something that is irresponsible, discharge a weapon somewhere you're not supposed to, lose it, get it stolen, whatever, it's questionable stuff. You lose your license.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
Of course, people steal guns all the time and, acquire them without licenses. So,
yeah.
If we were as stringent about gun control as we were about traffic laws, it might be a safer place.
Andy in North Carolina. Hi, Andy.
Yes. Good morning, Steph and crew.
Yes.
I'm down here on vacation. I'm getting all of the Virginia news channels. And I swear, only the most casual mention of how this crazy guy with a violent police record was able to get a hold of a military-style shotgun in a heartbeat.
Right.
I don't get it. It's unbelievable. Nobody cares.
Ain't that
everybody's
America?
Talking about, mm-hmm. Everybody's talking about security and how he got on the base. not about how he got this.
Oh, that's something else we need to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, there's unique things to every killing, and that's what I hate about whenever we have one of these, someone will go, aha, that wouldn't have done anything in this case. Okay, well, you know, you can.
Each case has its own.
Every case has its own, you know, if somebody was saying, oh, background checks wouldn't have helped and blah, blah, blah. Well, it would have been Virginia Tech, or what? You know what I mean? There's all these different cases that you go, okay, so that's an argument to not do anything about any aspect of any of these because this specific thing wouldn't have helped that specific situation. I mean, it's just, you know, this is not an intellectual argument, people. These are real families and real dead people. You know, I loved yesterday. We'll go through it in a little bit, but someone, and I thought, you know, we don't do that all the time, but there was a really exhaustive, article about everyone that was killed. But, I mean, really, like, you know, just unique things about them and, you know, that you just forget. That you go, oh, yeah, these were real people that were just ripped from real families that really loved them. It just brought it home to me a little more. You know, they're not just numbers.
Exactly.
It's just like, oh, how many numbers in this one? The FBI yesterday.
We believe at this time that the deceased shooter, Aaron Alexis, acted alone. As such, with no other suspects at large, the investigation has moved into a phase of evidence recovery and information gathering.
Mary in Phoenix. Hey, Mary. Welcome. Hi, Mary.
Oh, hey, Stephanie. Love you guys.
Thank
Sorry,
you.
I'm sexy liberal here in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And I don't give up on Arizona. I'm calling from the gun-toting state, but I have to say that I think the terrorists and Al-Qaeda, they have to be laughing at America, and it's frustrating because we won't have to worry about them killing us. I think we're going to kill each other, and that is so scary.
Yeah. No,
yeah.
That's a really good point. They're like, oh, we're going to blow each other away.
We are. And if we don't do something seriously about all this gun, you know, control, we're seriously going to kill each other.
Yeah. I mean, between that and the Republicans threatening to shut down the government, the terrorists are like, ugh, you know what? Let's close up shop. Let's take our shingle down. What else? The Ted Cruz, you know, threatening to shut down the government over defunding health care. I don't know what to say. All right, one more of the FBI.
We continue to look into Mr. Alexis's past, including his medical and criminal histories. But because that part of the investigation is still ongoing, we will not comment further on that at this time.
In the hours after the mass shooting, gun activists go quiet, part of a calculated strategy. This is Salon writing, there's only one time you can count on the NRA to be more subdued than your average gun obsessive, and it's the 24 to 48 hours after a mass shooting.
Yep.
Past is any prologue, they'll lay low until the jaded public accepts that nothing will become of the killing spree at D.C.'s Navy Yard and return to the regular program of advocating for an armed society and stoking far-right paranoia. This particular mass shooting has a little something for anyone who's inclined to be a poll, right, Salon today. If racism is your thing, you'll be relieved to learn that the deceased shooting suspect, Aaron Alexis, was black. If you think statements President Obama made about Trayvon Martin's killing were evidence of reverse racism hiding in plain sight, yesterday was a banner day. And sure enough, somebody emailed me that, and some right-wing, Joe Pags, is he? I don't know.
Yeah, Joe Pags.
Right. Of course, he said, he tweeted, Obama will not say if he had a son knew he would look like the shooter. What is the point of that, really? Well, I don't even get me into why there was a specific point he was making about Trayvon Martin.
Why didn't he say Idi Amin looked like it could have been his son?
Oh, right.
Huh?
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
Trayvon Martin was an unarmed teenager that was murdered in cold blood.
You had a bag of Skittles, though. Don't forget that.
Tim in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. By the way, could George Zimmerman's brother shut the up every time there's a shooting? He tweeted yesterday too.
Really?
Some pro-gun thing. It's just hush. Okay.
Well, no,
I meant to say shut the front door. What? Yes, hi Tim.
He can't be quiet because he's trying to get on Fox News, the permanent news, whatever. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where he's trying to be.
Yeah.
You know, I really want to know how the NRA is not going to be able to go. It's going to be able to stay. We do not need tighter gun regulations. We do not need a national registry or anything after this, because with someone of his violent past, that would have prevented maybe him getting a gun. But the next thing is what we could actually do to make sure that the right actually wants gun legislation. It's required for every gay person to own a gun.
Yeah, there you go. 58 minutes after the hour, Representative Jim Moran of the great state of Virginia, next on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, our music machine ain't working no more. That's great. 6 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, good. They got right on that. That problem with the computer over there. Okay, good. Good, good. Well, at least this isn't...
Sorry, Dave. I can't let you do that.
Yes. It's not professional radio. Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right. Lots to get to. Obviously, the big news on... well, we're going to talk to Representative Moran about the latest gun tragedy as well. But the UN report yesterday... The UN report finding clear and convincing evidence of a deadly chemical attack built new momentum for demands by the U.S. and allies to impose tough penalties on Syria if it fails to honor promises to surrender its arsenal. Western diplomats and independent experts said it offers undeniable evidence that Assad's forces fired sarin-filled rockets with Russian markings. Oh, that's embarrassing.
Oops.
Into Damascus suburbs on August 21st. Western diplomats said the weapons and sarin described by the UN experts displayed sophisticated manufacturing techniques beyond the capability of rebel forces, and that UN data about the trajectory of the rockets indicated they were fired from government-held territory. Samantha Power, the U.S. ambassador to the UN, said the technical details of the UN report make clear that only the regime could have carried out this large-scale chemical weapons attack. It defies logic to think that the opposition would have infiltrated the regime-controlled area to fire on opposition-controlled areas. Yeah. All right. So guess who was talking good sense about this on MSNBC last week and that everybody was talking about? Representative Jim Moran of the great state of Virginia. Good morning, Congressman.
Well, good morning, Stephanie. Nice to be with you.
Nice to be with you, too. I was listening to you. I saw you last weekend. I thought, oh, he's saying everything I'm saying.
Really? Seriously?
Yes. Well,
wow.
I mean, it's a lot to talk about this morning, but, you know, this UN report has basically, as I just said, backed up everything the Obama administration has said, hasn't it?
It has. I think the president has acted properly here in a very difficult situation. I think he did what history is going to prove was the right thing to do. And I think his position was the liberal position. I understand the poll numbers didn't reflect that. In my own district, it was 93% to 7% against authorizing the use of the kind of strategic strike that he wanted to perform on Assad's planes and airfields. But it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And, I think that the last time that there was so little support for a president using military force was back in 1939, and we went for years because the Congress and the American people didn't want to get involved in World War II. And, you know, how many people died? And when you think about all of the members of the Jewish community in Europe who were gassed to death because we were the only ones who really had the ability to tip the scales in World War II, and we chose not to until the Japanese attacked us in Pearl Harbor. So what was the liberal position back then? I think it was to try to save human life, and that's what the president is trying to do, at least stop the use and proliferation of chemical weapons. And we know that Russia is complicit in this.
Yep.
But, you know, we're going to have to work with Russia and Syria, whether it's through embarrassing them or whatever means. We can't let chemical weapons become the new normal of warfighting.
Well, and Representative, I mean, it seems to me that it just is stunning that people could try to really imply that the president has been stumbling and this somehow happened by accident by some John Kerry gaffe. When clearly,
yeah, it wasn't. I think the president sat down with President Putin when they were together in St. Petersburg, and they worked this out. Because I think the president showed Putin that he has something at stake here, too. That the al-Nusra brigade, the al-Qaeda, the extremists, get hold of these weapons in Syria, they can bring them to Russia. They can become a direct threat to Putin. And you know, that's what great presidents do, and they do a lot of stuff behind the scenes that they never get credit for. No, I think this was all mapped out, and, you know, so far it's working as well as it could.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. How is it anything other than a stunning success to have gotten a dictator to give up chemical weapons they denied even having a week ago without firing a shot. How is that not just a stunning success on every level?
I mean, it really is, and it's a success for people like Samantha Power, and for Hillary Clinton didn't have to come forward and back up the president, and she did. She knew what the poll numbers looked like. And credit to you and people like Nick Kristof and Richard Cohen, a few others who said, look, regardless of the poll numbers, think this through. What's the right thing to do here? If the U.S. is the only one with the ability to stop this, don't we have a responsibility then to do so?
Congressman, I mean, and you know why? Because I trusted that the president is anti-war. He proved it. He was one of the few against the Iraq war when it was not popular to be so. He was the one that called it a dumb war, long before, a lot of people knew that. And so that's why I trusted that this was exactly the outcome he wanted. And, I had your colleague and my good friend, Alan Grayson, on last week. And, we respectfully disagreed on this. I further, it's interesting, I was just reading a piece in Salon that where they interviewed Alan, and I, he is a personal friend of mine, but I think it is irresponsible, some of the things he said. He said, my view is the Syrians probably have suffered a breakdown in the command and control of their chemical weapons. That's what German intelligence said. He talks about the intelligence he saw being like talking points for war. I mean, I don't think anyone that knows President Obama would think he is pro-war. And I think that a lot of this stuff was speculation that has been now disproven by the UN report, right?
You are so right. And, Nancy Pelosi,
yeah.
You really think she's pro-war? That poor woman,
Thank you.
Her 50th wedding anniversary, and they protested on her front lawn. She couldn't even celebrate her 50th wedding anniversary because of the anti-war protesters. And, they're good-hearted people. They're supporters of mine, generally, up until now. And they want to do the right thing. But on this issue, they were wrong. Nancy was right. Skinny Hoyer was right. And even though they were rejected, even though they, the polls didn't support them, they showed real leadership. I was very proud of
Representative,
a lot of people.
You and I are of one mind on this, because I have to say, this is why I said, when Barbara Boxer and Nancy Pelosi tell me something, when Barbara Lee, for goodness sakes, tells me she's seen the classified intelligence, even though she wasn't going to vote for military action, I mean, that's why I just think that, we often say politics is supposed to end at the water's edge, right? That we speak as we're stronger when we speak with one voice in America.
Well, that's right. And what is a liberal? I think one of the definitions of being a liberal is that you value all human life, whether it be Muslim or Christian or, whatever language they speak or wherever they were born. All human life is precious. And these weapons of mass destruction are an abomination. They're designed to exterminate human life indiscriminately. And so we've got to take a stand against chemical weapons and nuclear weapons. And that's what the president was doing and you were doing. So thank you, Stephen.
Oh, well, no, thank you, Representative. And as I say, I mean, I'm happy to have Alan Grayson back on because I do love him. But I just, in this particular situation, I'm reading part of the Salon thing. It says the intelligence is on the side of the U.S., but a dozen former intelligence officials sent a letter saying, no, it was carried out by the rebels. Well, and then it says, and then there's the question of who ordered it. Lots of reports say it was not ordered by Assad. The Guardian says Assad tried to prevent it. I mean, to have a sitting United States congressman quoting The Guardian instead of, to me, that's just irresponsible. And I love Alan. And Alan, if you're listening, call in to dispute this. But I think the Republicans, you can predict, right, Representative, that they are going to, whatever the president wants, they're going to be against it reflexively. I mean, to me,
that's... There's no question about that. And some of their motivation is just the worst kind of motivation, because they know their constituents, are going to oppose anything he does just because of who he is. And so we have to discount them. Unfortunately, it wasn't just the Republicans. There are an awful lot of people in the Democratic Party. I understand they don't want to get involved in war, but, sometimes you have to step up no matter how war weary you are. And this, of course, was not, we weren't going to, the president was not going to target any civilian areas. It was only things like airfields and planes and so on that you can't hide in a civilian area. The plane it has to be on an airfield, and so those airfields are exposed. And that was the kind of thing we were going to do, and we may still have to do that, but hopefully we won't. I do think that things are going in the right direction. It's going to be an extraordinary foreign policy accomplishment if this works out, even though he's going to get virtually no credit currently. Maybe in history books he will.
Yeah, I would imagine. You know, Representative, somebody else sent me a report from the Jerusalem Post saying Syria is transferring chemical weapons to Hezbollah to avoid international inspection. You have to hope that whether it's Israeli intelligence or American intelligence, as John Kerry said yesterday, that we can see what he's doing. I mean, hopefully, you know, we'll be able to track that sort of thing. I hope, right?
Well, yes. But the other thing we have to bear in mind is that our end game may be the inclusion of Assad in a new government. Our position has been we need a more representative, inclusive government in Syria. But he may stay in place. We're not trying to move him because we're not sure who would take his place. But we know that the current government, where he protects the Alawites, a small sect, and a government that's not in any way representative of the majority of the people, is not sustainable. But we're not going to be able to, put in the people that we want. That's going to be up to the Syrian people. And right now, there's a whole lot of people who are not Syrian who are engaged in that fight, and a lot of them are not our friends. And so this is going to be a very difficult situation working itself out. And anybody that thinks we have any intention of putting boots on the ground or trying to determine the outcome of what is a civil war is wrong. We want to influence the negotiations, obviously, because our principle is a democratic, representative government where everyone has the freedom to vote and to speak freely and so on. They don't have that now, and that's what we're trying to get. But, boy, it's going to be a bumpy road, but I think we're moving in the right direction.
Representative, I know I had so much to talk to you about Syria, but, you know, quickly before you go, I mean, obviously a lot of people just feeling just sadness and fatigue over this latest gun massacre and, you know, the fact that we clearly didn't get anything done the last time. I mean, is there any sliver of hope on any kind of, you know, gun safety measures that 90% of the American people want or not?
No. There isn't, Stephanie. This is such an indictment of where we are politically in this country, the strength of the NRA, the ability of people to buy elections and to be manipulated by the media, the right-wing media in particular. It's a damn shame. We talk about not wanting chemical weapons to become the new norm, but these kinds of massacres with guns has become the new norm in America. This guy gets a 10-year permit for a concealed weapon when he obviously had mental health issues. He knew himself he had mental health issues. And yet he's able to carry around a gun that are primarily designed to kill other human beings. And how many other people like this Alexis guy are out there? And it threatens the lives and the security of every one of the people that we care about, that we love, our families, our friends, our communities. And yet we do nothing about it. Look what happened in Colorado. It's beyond imagination that we could have gotten to this place where the NRA is able to prevent us from being able to save the people that we care about from gun massacre. We know it's good. There's going to be, another one every month or two, and they're going to get worse and worse.
And Representative Moran, I mean, and the people that don't want to do anything about guns are also threatening to shut the government down to defund, you know, Obamacare, which includes mental health care. I mean, it just...
Thank you. Good for you. Of course, the principal reason they want to shut down Obamacare is they're afraid it's going to work.
Yeah. By the way, Kathleen Sebelius tweeted this morning, big news, nearly 6 in 10 uninsured Americans will get covered for less than $100 a month starting January 1st.
That's something.
Yeah. Wow. I mean... Yeah. Anyway, Representative, I could talk to you all morning. I disagree with Sean Hannity about what he was caught saying about you off mic. I think you're delightful.
Well, I'll say it about him on mic, so it's okay.
Yeah!
Representative Jim Moran of the great state of Virginia, thank you so much for your time this morning.
It's my honor to be with you.
Thank you, sir. I love him. Oh. All right.
What a jerk. Did you hear that, Frank? God, I hate these people. You have no idea how pissed was Moran. Not that I give a shit. I couldn't stand this guy.
Which makes us like him even more.
Which makes me love him all the more. 21 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 26 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Love him, Representative Jim Moran, talking to him about all sorts of things. Obviously,
he's quite a stud.
He is. He is a congressional stud. All right. I just know, but a lot of people just let me know that he was on MSNBC last weekend, but just saying a lot of the stuff I've been saying about the Syrian situation, which I think is borne out by the UN report. And we'll see if Alan Grayson has not texted me yet, so I don't know if he was listening. But I just, you know, we respectfully disagree when he came on last week, and we are personal friends. I just thought it was irresponsible as a sitting congressman to say some of the things he said in Salon that have been disproven, you know, in terms of, you know, the Guardian says Assad tried to stop this. It's like, give me a break. You know, I mean, it's just, I get it. I would like to think I'm as anti-war as Alan Grayson or anybody else, you know, but that's why, as, you know, Representative Moran said, that's why Nancy Pelosi, Barbara Boxer, Barbara Lee has credibility on these issues. John Kerry yesterday.
The United States will not do any of this by trust. This is not a matter of trust. It's a matter of verifying and enforcing.
So at any rate, I was talking about the UN report just came out. The United States, France, and Britain are pressuring the Council to adopt an enforceable and binding resolution with remedies that could include force. Russia, Syria's closest ally on the Council, has balked at any suggestion of military action. Perhaps that could be because, what's that stamped? Oh, it's Russia is stamped on many of the things that they found.
Great.
Yeah. Geez.
Thanks, Pooty Poot.
Yeah, sorry. It's so shocking that they're being unhelpful.
Cyrillic alphabet. What could that possibly mean?
But I just, you know, I patently disagree again with Alan on him saying, I think they asked him, don't you think it was the credible threat of force that caused? He said, no, I think that's just not true. And he said, they can read, the Syrian army can read the internet and that we don't have the whip counts. It's like, oh, great. So, like, we want to advertise that we're not standing behind the president. So you can go do whatever you want because we're not going to back him up on this. I mean, it's just, I don't get it. For people that know that, you know, clearly this administration is not pro-war and never has been. The UN report, again, reading here from is largely consistent with U.S. intelligence on the attack, as Barbara Lee and others said. Though there may be only a small chance the Security Council of authorizing military action, if Syria repeatedly violates its agreement, there could be a surge in international support for action by a coalition of the willing outside the UN auspices or a U.S. Unilateral action, which I'm sure is the only reason that they would have done a flip-flop this quickly on admitting they have weapons and be willing to give them up. The UN Ban Ki-moon, the UN Secretary General, said the experts' findings are beyond doubt and beyond the pale. This is a war crime. That's pretty unequivocal.
Yeah.
So Mitch McChinless has some thoughts on all this. I'm sure he's going to be very supportive of the president, as usual. Uh-huh. All right, we'll be back with that. 29 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
At least it's a good place to see celebrities.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I admire your loyalty. You've had that hairstyle forever. You don't care that it's out of fashion. You stick with it.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Why, it's Shafe, everybody, from the live blog.
Hey, Shafe.
Shafe in Columbus. Hi, Shafe.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hello, Angel.
Hey, I just wanted to say, as I just mentioned to our awesomely intelligent chat room out here, that I'm past the let's blame Obama for stumbling into the best solution, or Obama was 50 moves ahead of Syria and Russia. I'm just glad, just awesomely glad that we have the UN involved, the international community involved.
Yep.
You know, Syria has fessed up to chemical weapons. The report now discloses that. And we're going to do something about it. God willing, everything will go through and, you know, chemical weapons will be taken out of their hands. And let's just stop this freaking debate and, you know, concentrate on the good that's come out of this whole scenario.
Well, yeah, that's why we played that great John Stewart clip, Shafe, because he said, you know, who cares how we got a ruthless dictator to give up their chemical weapons? As long as we got a ruthless dictator to give up his chemical weapons without firing a shot. I mean, but it's just, it cracked me up. Did you see on Q, well-known Southern Belle Lindsey Graham? Putting forward a resolution to bomb Iran. It's like, what? The president's got this, right? I mean,
I know.
He's already exchanging letters with the new moderate leader in Iran. It's just, ugh.
He sounded so disappointed we couldn't have a war. Like,
yes.
Come on.
Yes, we harshed his wargasm. Our apologies. All right. Thank you, Shafe. Maybe he and John McCain can go watch the volleyball scene from Top Gun again.
Oh.
Maybe that'll be satisfying.
Oh, my.
Oh,
my stars.
Oh, they glisten in the sun.
I'm beginning to glisten myself. Oh, my stars.
Oh.
Okay, Bill in Albany, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Steph, official driver of the Stephanie Miller Show. And you're looking great as ever. Anyway, the thing that I think we ought to do as sane citizens is today, when you see somebody with an NRA sticker on their truck, stop and thank them for reducing the size of government by 12.
Yeah.
We really appreciate all the work they've done for that. And, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, honey. All right. All right. That was a little snark. Okay. Oh, Senator Mitch McChinless.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought he would be supportive of this stunning diplomatic breakthrough on Syria, but
I think it's a fact that the Russians now have more influence in the Middle East as a result of their intervention and the administration buying their solution than they've had since the 1970s.
Right, it was their solution all on their own. Yep. Okay. Yep. Once again, who cares? Okay. By the by, the deputy French ambassador to the UN said there is no doubt the attack was perpetrated by the Damascus regime.
Mm-hmm.
Germany, by the way, I guess who Alan Grayson cited, had resisted U.S. efforts to build U.S. support for strikes on Syria, but the foreign ministry said Monday the report showed the attack was a crime against civilization and requires a determined UN Security Council resolution. Moscow may be embarrassed that the rockets cited by the report bore Russian markings.
Ah!
Oh, dear. Gee. Wonder why they could be
made in Vladivostok. What?
What?
Huh? That's Vladivostok, Texas.
The human rights.
Yes, that's it.
Oh, boy.
Moscow and Hudson.
The Human Rights Watch report issued last week, based on analysis of videos and witness accounts of the attack, concludes that 140-millimeter and 330-millimeter artillery rockets were used to deliver the poison gas. The group said the experts and independent analysts had never seen Syrian rebel forces possessing or using such rockets. On Monday, the Human Rights Watch director said the UN report confirmed the organization's conclusions. Oh, and this is, by the way... somebody sent me a piece from the Jerusalem Post. Oh, dear. It says Assad's forces are smuggling chemical weapons to Hezbollah hidden in trucks carrying vegetables in order to escape international chemical inspections, according to a Syrian opposition member. Yeah, it's hard to know who to believe here. The chemical arms are said to be stored in Hezbollah-controlled mountain areas of Lebanon, where it would be difficult to find and monitor them. Syria has also been able to smuggle the bulk of its chemical arsenal to Russian warships stationed off the coast of Syria. According to this article, on Sunday, They reported a Lebanese paper reported that Syria had moved 20 trucks worth of equipment and material used for manufacturing chemical weapons into Iraq.
What?
Oh no! Are we going to have to bomb there again? Really? Let's see. But then the minister there said that Israel is able to track attempts made by Assad to transfer weapons, and that's what John Kerry said. Is that I'm hoping that our intelligence, he said, we could see, hopefully, to a large degree, whether this is true, whether they're moving them and where, you know, because that's what people are afraid of, obviously, is you can't trust them. Oh, why, look at here. Yet another breakthrough. Iran confirms exchange of letters with Obama.
Yeah.
Iran's foreign ministry said President Hassan Rouhani had exchanged letters.
The new guy.
Right, the new guy. The new moderate guy.
Yeah.
That guy. Confirming direct communication between the leaders of the two countries. The U.S. Iran cut off formal diplomatic ties in 1980. Wow, that might also seem like a stunning diplomatic breakthrough if one were ever want to give any credit to President Obama for anything. Lindsey Graham, well-known Southern belle, with immaculate timing as always,
yes,
putting forth a resolution to bomb Iran.
When you're putting the bomb them, that's a macho thing to do.
He is such a drama queen.
The one thing I'm not going to do is vote on a new Secretary of Defense until the old Secretary of Defense testifies about what happened in Benghazi.
Lindsey Beauregard Graham!
Lindsey Graham's up all night long.
But unnerving to a guy like me.
Bitching, moaning, and then he's gone.
Are you satisfied with the approach the administration has taken?
You get the chance,
no, I haven't been satisfied for a long time.
You are the drama queen.
We're 3 years into this, and he's failing, and it's not the Tea Party's fault.
Drama queen.
Does not have, for he is a cat in a stout.
You can bitch, you can cry, wasting the time of our life. Ooh, be a girl, make a scene, being a drama queen.
To say I was stunned is an understatement.
Yay, Rocky Mountain Mike!
You know, one imagines the only way to calm Lindsey Graham at this point is for John McCain to spoon him gently and sing Bomb, 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 Bomb Iran.
Bomb, 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 Bomb Iran.
Ah.
Oh, my stars!
Oh. I bet you that calms him down.
Sure.
Kind of like a belly rub for... Oh, okay.
You got to do something manly and bomb somebody.
Oh! All right. By the way, since I had Michael Tomasky on yesterday,
yes,
I didn't want to make Bob Seska jealous. So.
Oh, Bob Seska, I believe, is going to be on tomorrow.
Oh, all right. Well, I just wanted to say, he wrote yesterday, personally, I define victory, he's talking about Syria, in terms of the stated goal of the administration's actions of the past 3 weeks, to destroy Syria's chemical weapons to prevent another attack on Syrian civilians. On the other hand, Jeffrey Goldberg, in a Bloomberg column, detailed his personal criteria for why he believes the crisis in Syria was a victory for Assad. Oh, good God. I love this. He said on Sunday's Meet the Press,
victory?
Goldberg accused the administration of partnering with Assad on an outlandish project to remove all the chemical weapons from Syria. And Bob makes a good point. He says, I suppose the Kennedy administration partnered with the Soviets and Castro to remove the medium and long-range ballistic missiles from Cuba. Well, clearly, any peaceful diplomatic solution that achieves precisely the U.S. goal from the outset would somehow be seen as partnering with whomever. It's nonsense, says Bob. Goldberg and other pessimists and administration opponents are free to spin away, but it doesn't change the fact the administration's saber-rattling led to an 11th-hour deal which will lead to the sole goal, whilst the disarmament of Syria's massive stockpiles of chemical weapons. The chain of events is undeniable, as Jim Moran just said to
us.
But regardless of which other parties jumped into the fray, if it hadn't been for the threat of military action along with wiggle room for diplomacy, there wouldn't be a deal on the table, and we wouldn't be having this discussion.
And Kennedy and Khrushchev did have a lot of back-channel conversations.
See?
to
partnering with the Cubans.
Well, to try to avoid nuclear war. I mean, they both had military hotheads that are trying to start
World
War
III. In that sense, we partnered with Hitler in ushering him to the next world, I suppose.
No, but I mean, they actually did. Kennedy and Khrushchev really were negotiating to try to stop the, World War III.
Right. All right. Chris in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you doing?
Hello.
Good. Hi, guys. We're on opposite sides of the political spectrum. I'll start with that. But really quickly, why does every like mass shooting have to relate to the NRA? I mean, there are people in this world that really are, you know, just do things. I mean, it doesn't really have to have an affiliation with the NRA.
Well, except that the NRA is the one that is working and putting money in constantly into making sure that no gun safety measure of any kind passes anywhere.
And the NRA is currently fundraising off of this tragedy.
Uh-huh. And their answer is more guns, no matter what the
well,
question is.
Well, I do agree. I believe that, you know, a weapon is there to help yourself. You can also harm people, but those are, you know, sick people. But nonetheless, I just want to say that, you know, I'm in Chicago. There's a lot of violence out here, and, you know, I
right.
I
and let me get this straight. Let me guess. There's strict gun laws in Chicago, right?
Well, there is strict gun laws in Chicago.
Right.
But not in Gary, Indiana.
Can you see Indiana from your house? I bet you can.
Actually, yeah. They have a really good casino outside Indiana.
That's right. And they have very lax gun laws in Indiana, too.
All right. You know what? Come up with a new talking point.
Yeah, but the blacks.
By chance, I happen to live in Chicago. Oh, God. Here we go. Fill in the talking point here. That is very strict gun laws, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We've heard that before.
Although he fell for our Indiana trap. Shunk.
Shunk.
I just put like a little in, just a light layer of leaves over the hole. And shunk. Yes, that's where you can get a gun like that. So, nice try.
He fell in the hole and fell on a soda stream.
So, shunk. Soda stream and win arguments.
Yes.
It's a simple shunk.
Shunk. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Music, girl. Lay down the boogie and play the funky music till you die.
Oh, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hump Days with Hal Sparks coming up in just about 10 minutes or so, top of the hour. The D.C. police chief yesterday. Kathy Lanier.
We had officers who heroically went into a building, witnessing multiple casualties, and continued to pursue and engage a gunman who was determined to kill as many people as possible.
Let's see, some other facts about Aaron Alexis. He spent much of his free time learning Thai and also enjoyed karaoke and watching Anthony Bourdain.
Really?
Yes. Wow. He even when he worked at the Happy Bowl. In White Settlement.
Texas.
He would carry a handgun on the job. So
guns don't kill people. Anthony Bourdain kills
complain
people.
Complain about your Yumun Sen. Perhaps that wouldn't have been a good idea. Hmm. Wow. A friend of Aaron Alexis.
I knew that there was some things that Aaron was upset about with his veteran benefits. He wasn't getting paid on time or he wasn't getting enough, but it was nothing of this magnitude.
Okay, Mark in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Mark.
Hi, Stephanie. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I want to respond to what that last guy said, and I've heard this talking point, like you said, just innumerable times. Illinois has not adopted concealed carry, or we just adopted it. We do not have concealed carry, and Chicago does have some of the toughest gun laws around. To my knowledge, Illinois and Chicago in particular have never had a mass shooting, and that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about the everyday violence that does indeed plague our city, but the mass shootings are not stopped by people carrying guns.
Yeah.
We've never had one here, and you can't carry a gun. Literally.
Yeah. Well, you know, Mark, it's this nonsense that this place was a gun-free zone. No, it wasn't. It's like, you know, all these, like, right-wing talking points that they jump to immediately.
Base security were the first people to start shooting back at Aaron Alexis. That doesn't sound like a gun-free zone to me.
John in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, Steph, I just want to make a comment also.
you know, Obama stepped in with the Trayvon Martin thing, and this Alexis guy, in my view, seems to look like Obama if he had a son. I don't hear Mr. Obama stepping out on this one. And, you know.
To say
the,
what?
We were speaking about the NRA before, that they don't want to give an
I'm sorry, you wanted the president to say what about this?
Oh, well, remember how he stepped in with the Trayvon Martin?
Right, and he spoke about this. He spoke about this yesterday, obviously.
Yeah, well, did he mention that if he had a son, mm-hmm. it might look like Alexis also?
Why would he say that?
Why would he say that?
Well, because he stepped in with Trayvon Martin.
Right, because he was an unarmed teenager that was murdered, and so he was talking about...
So all black guys should be his son, right?
Right.
Okay.
No.
So anybody black that's in the news, he should mention that they might look like because they all look alike. Is that your point?
You know what? He stepped in on the Trayvon Martin, which I thought was completely out of line.
Because Trayvon was a completely innocent.
That's the other right wing talking point. See, I say it here, and it comes up on the phone lines.
Why should adopt all the black people?
Wow! All black people look the same.
Right. Right. Why didn't he say that Aaron Alexis could look like his son if he had...
Why didn't he say Idi Amin?
Right.
Like
Why?
Why? I really want to know. Talking point.
Arsenio just got his talk show back. Why didn't the president say if he had a son, it would look like Arsenio? Why?
Talking point.
I need to cry.
Maybe if that guy who just called had a son, he'd look like Timothy McVeigh.
Maybe.
Yes.
Why doesn't he say that? Why didn't you say that, sir?
Why didn't you say that? Why did you say that? Why did you step in on that?
Yeah.
Oink. Oink.
Oh, God, this is what I do for a living. Okay. Claims that made by some office holders that the sequester budget cuts may have contributed to the scale of Monday's massacre at the Washington Navy Yard. Oh, always. And then, of course, because the president calls the sequester. You see how that'd be a way to. Yeah. According to an Inspector General report, the sequester is not responsible for the cost pressures, which did force the Navy to scale back security procedures. You can blame it on the general pressures on the Department of Defense and really the entire federal government over the past several years to bring down their costs, he said, but this isn't the sequester. The report indicated that a number of convicts and people who should not have had access to military sites have accessed those sites in recent months. Yeah, that seems to me to be the larger problem there is how this guy got a clearance.
Yeah.
I mean, he got this kind of ID. Anyway, I thought it was, it's interesting. Now we have all these, like, just names and then, like, numbers. Like, Newtown, 26 people. And you don't, like, see a lot of, like, who are these people? And it's just kind of heartbreaking when you realize, like, these are not talking points. These are people with real families. Yeah. And the three women and nine men ranged in age from 46 to 73 and included retirees, parents, a bird lover, and a divorcee. Kathy Gard, 62 years old, the mother of two loved animals in nature. She liked to help count bluebirds for a local wildlife refuge in her spare time, her family said. Her children are grown, 26 and 33. She was nearing retirement. Gerald Reed, 58 years old, devoted to his job as a project manager in information assurance at the Navy Yard and also to animals, said his wife of 35 years, Kathy. We have four dogs, three labs, and an Irish setter, and they're the life of the family. 6 years ago, they started a professional pet care company called Biscuit Break Pet Service. Their daughter runs the business now. On the day of the shooting, Kathy Reed said when she had not heard from her husband by 5, she began to worry. Then there's a knock at the door, and I thought it was him. Instead, it was someone coming to tell her that her husband was dead.
Wow.
Sylvia Fraser, 53, the Waldorf, Maryland resident, came from a large religious family that spent the hours after the shooting waiting for news, praying, and reading the Bible. The family had gathered at the home of her parents, both in their 80s. John Roger Johnson, 73, the oldest victim. Johnson was about to celebrate his 74th birthday next month. His family said his relatives were planning a big gathering, as they did every year, said their daughter Megan. Johnson, who was known as JJ, had three other adult daughters and 10 grandchildren. Known for his infectious smile, he never said a bad thing about anyone. He would want us to forgive the shooter because that's how he was, a forgiving person, his daughter said in an email. Kevin Bernard Proctor, 46. He was newly divorced, had two sons, a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old who had just graduated from high school in May. He was actually the youngest victim of the shooting. Martin Bodrog, 54, retired U.S. naval officer who lived in Virginia. Never seemed to slow down. His family said even on cold winter days, he could be found outside in shorts and his trademark Boston Bruins jersey, walking his dogs and helping shovel all the driveways of his elderly neighbors.
In shorts.
Shorts weather.
Yeah.
He and his wife of 25 years, Melanie, had three daughters. 23, 17, 16. Arthur Daniels, 51, grandfather of nine. A witness said that he was shot in the back as he and a colleague were frantically pushing an elevator button to escape the gunman. Vinshu Pandit, 61. He grew up in Mumbai, attended Calcutta University, moved to the U.S. In the mid-70s. He was fatally shot in the head where he worked as an engineer for some 30 years. He definitely lived the American dream and achieved it. His friend said it's disheartening. The one flaw in the American system is the uncontrolled proliferation of guns. He raised two sons with his wife, also had a granddaughter. Neighbors saw him regularly as he walked his golden retriever, Bailey. All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Right back, Hump Days with Hal Sparks on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Oh, Stephanie Miller Show on Facebook. Is that what it is? SM Show? How do we do it? Stephanie Miller
on
Show.
On Facebook?
Yes.
Facebook.com/Stephanie Miller Show.
There you go. All right. Up there and at Sexy Liberal Facebook, pictures of our vacation to Canyon Ranch.
Yes.
Sexy Liberal tour director Roland Scahill did not make it. He decided to go to the hospital with a bleeding ulcer instead, and he thanks you for your thoughts and prayers. He's feeling much better. But Melissa Fitzgerald and I went. We were all going to be going, and it's the happiest place on earth, Canyon Ranch, can I just say? And by the way,
I think another company has a trademark on that.
Yeah.
No, they don't. Not anymore. I just took it.
Okay.
Thank you for all your thoughts on my ass on the climbing wall. There are pictures of me on the climbing wall. And also, I am like this close from retiring and teaching pool classes in Miami because that was my favorite, the pool classes. I'm officially old.
Did you have a bathing cap with daisies all over it?
No, I did not.
Oh.
Anyway, the pictures are up on vacation.
My
pictures.
Grandmother had one of those.
Yeah, you look like a tampon with like just rubber flowers.
Exactly,
on.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So attractive.
And a big skirt.
Yeah, right. I'm already so old that I have that bathing suit.
Do you have a skirt
bathing
suit?
Not one or two pieces, it's like three pieces. Like with a puppet show, like a skirt and a pants and a, yeah. I have body image stuff going on. It's,
why?
All right. So anyway, oh, and Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks on his way in. Traffic is a biatch.
Yeah.
As it is in L.A. But the other thing is we will have a Sexy Liberal announcement. Huge. Could it involve the long-awaited West Coast Sexy Liberal? I believe it could. We will have an announcement coming up very shortly about that. All right. And speaking of comedy, Chris and Yankton, I have no idea where this old Jim Ward bits just lodge in people's heads.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, I told you I was at a party last weekend and someone did Jim's Assad impression to me.
Yeah.
Literally, a woman came up to me and said, I have a very delicate neck. Please don't lynch me. It would go snip. Just like that. Right in my ear. Snip. All creepy. Okay. So Chris and Yankton, I have no idea where this came from. Oh, to lighten the mood, because obviously we've been talking about yet another mass shooting.
Mm-hmm.
I present to you an old tinsel talk from 2007 involving a Larry King All-Star special.
Oh.
Producer Chris's comment yesterday about Steph asking how old a particular celebrity is now reminded me of the Mason Reese reference in this bit.
Oh, God. Oh, wow.
I don't know why, but why not?
It's a king-size week. I'll be interviewing Oprah, Angelina Jolie, President Clinton, Bono, Carrot Top, Abe Vigoda, Tom Poston, Suzanne Plachet, Tammy Faye, Jim Jay Bullock, Mitzi Gaynor, Mitzi Shore, Pauly Shore, Christy Swanson, Jackie Mason, Mason Reese, Steve and Edie, Flo and Eddie, Waylon Flowers and Madam, Eddie Fisher, Bobby Fisher, and Fisher Stevens. Addis Ababa, hello. You have a question for Debbie Reynolds.
Wow.
Audience. Question for Debbie Reynolds. Oh. Which, you know, that's one degree of Hal Sparks separation, because I don't know where. But there was some Sexy Liberal we were doing somewhere, and there was a woman in a white pantsuit. He said, it's good to see Debbie Reynolds still looking so well.
Oh.
Oh, dear. All right. Looky. The president's carny talking about Hey, are the Republicans doing anything for us? Yes, they are. They're trying to shut the entire government down.
Yay.
Yes.
The concerted, ongoing effort to attack, repeal, defund, and delegitimize the Affordable Care Act.
Oh, boy. Kathleen Sebelius just tweeted this morning, by January 1st, 6 out of 10 Americans will have health care for about $100 a month because of, exchanges and such and subsidies. Unbelievable.
Well, let's just shut down the country. Let's have another Great Depression.
Just hit the lights. Everything's pretty much done here. Yeah. By the way, I wanted to, I was saying that, these are not just numbers, these mass shootings. We were just talking about, it's just so heartbreaking when you hear the stories and see the actual people and go, ugh, these are, a whole bunch of other families. Just today, some of the Newtown families had previously planned to be in D.C. today. With some Democratic lawmakers talking again about background checks and whatever, and coincides now with yet another our latest mass shooting. Let's see, because I didn't want to leave people out. I didn't get to the last hour. Michael Arnold was 59. He lived in Virginia, was a Navy veteran. Mary Frances Knight had just started a new position this month. Oh, some of this stuff is just so heartbreaking. That you just go if the. You know what I mean? Just coincidental and all of that. Mm-hmm. Richard Michael Rigel, 52 years old, a veteran of the Maryland State Police, according to his page on Facebook, where his daughters and other family members posted tributes and photographs. I was saying, Michael Arnold, he was a pilot. It was in the midst of building his own airplane. He was a 59-year-old. Arnold had been married for 30 years, had two grown sons. He was a retired Navy commander who had been stationed at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. And later designed vessels used by the Marine Corps. The neighbor called him the best neighbor ever. Arthur Daniels, let's see, grandfather of nine, father of five. He spotted the gunman and made a run for the elevator with his colleague. This is the guy we were talking about was shot in the back. Kathleen Gard, financial analyst at the Navy Yard. She had just begun planning her retirement with her husband, Douglas, who wrote, "Today my life partner of 42 years, 38 of them married, was taken from me, my grown son and daughter and friends." They were just about to, to plan their retirement. Anyway. All right. So and we were saying, all the right-wing talking points went out immediately. I guess couldn't they at least find some that are true? They were like, oh, it was a gun-free zone. No, it wasn't. The first people shot were the good guys with guns.
Yeah.
I mean, by the way,
military bases are not gun-free zones, Rush Limbaugh. Quit putting that lie out there.
Yeah. Oh, Jim found a lovely article. I think I'd seen this somewhere, too. Let's see. A man trained his... A six-year-old had 3 years of gun training, shot his sister in the face.
Yeah. Great.
So somewhere a guy saw a kid that was three and realized what he really needed was to start gun training.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
So he could successfully kill his sister. Nicely done.
We mentioned this other tragic story. Jim, you mentioned it yesterday. A North Carolina police officer was charged with voluntary manslaughter on Saturday after he fatally shot an unarmed man who had apparently just survived a car crash in Charlotte and was looking for help. The victim, Jonathan Farrell, a 24-year-old former Florida A&M University football player, was shot multiple times. The shooting of Mr. Farrell was excessive, said the Charlotte Police Department spokesman.
I'm wondering if race was involved.
Yeah, I know. Our investigation has shown that Officer Carrick did not have a lawful right to discharge his weapon during this encounter. According to police, Farrell crashed his vehicle in the woods, climbed out of his car, walked a half mile to the nearest house. He began banging on the door. It was quite possible he was seeking assistance based on his accident, said the police chief. But the woman who answered the door thought Farrell was a burglar and called police. It was shortly after 2:30 a.m. to report an attempted break-in. And so, what happened after that, I don't know. There was, early reports that perhaps he charged at the police or whatever. But, what a tragedy. That, once again, we have something like this. Preliminary reports that I heard, there was no alcohol involved or anything. He got in a car crash and was looking for help. And, I don't know all the details of that, but just. All right. By the by, we were talking yesterday to our friend Julie Brown, who is just a bubbly cup of comedy fun.
I love her. Although I'm afraid when I hugged her yesterday, I gave her whatever.
Oh, great!
Zombie outbreak I have.
Way to go.
I'm patient zero in the zombie outbreak. I just know it.
Does it mean we have to shoot you in the head?
Probably.
Stop it. Anyway, she's very pro-Hillary. She's hoping that she runs, because yeah. I was saying that Joe Biden was in at the steak fry in Iowa, leading to speculation that he's going to, that 2016 is on the table.
I just like fried steak.
Or maybe like steak.
I like fried steak a lot.
Oh, did you see that Andrea Tantaros blamed Joe Biden for the
what,
Navy Yard shooting?
Really?
Sure.
Yes.
Well, that's obvious. That's obvious.
What?
What?
Because Joe Biden told the guy to go out and get a shotgun.
Ah, right. There you
right.
go.
Right. He specifically told that guy.
Plus, he has an office in the Naval Observatory, so obviously.
Right. Right. Clearly, there's a pretty clean line there. Pretty right.
What is wrong with her?
Wow.
What isn't wrong with her?
Yeah, he specifically told that guy.
You know what you should
he
do?
He meant for
get a
home
shotgun.
Protection. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I urge you just to go get a box, to go get my box, because all you need is the sound effect. You don't really even need the shotgun. All you need is, right, there you go. Just, no, look
no,
out,
not
I've
that.
Got a, no, not
look
a cuckoo
out,
clock.
Got a cuckoo clock.
Hang on, I have a, listen, don't come in here, I've got dogs, no. Okay.
I've got Ethel Merman.
I've got a studio audience, do not come in here. He also said, I think John Kerry's been one of the best Secretary of State so far in the history of the United States of America. He said, we reached this agreement with the international community to secure them and dismantle them by 2014, and we didn't lose one American life. That's leadership, folks. I love when he throws in the folks. All right. Oh, why,
look
who's
here.
Steffi.
Oh, look at that heavy breathing I hear. Why, could it be? Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, take that, Ustream.
That's right.
How you
own
doing?
It. Like it.
Take it.
Live it. So, so I obviously the circular talking points that you guys have been getting all morning just get more and more fun all the time.
It was the gun-free zone, you know, like all military bases.
Sure, sure. Guns are not allowed in the military.
No,
I don't know if you knew that.
They're blaming Bill Clinton for creating gun-free zones on military bases in 1993. Bill Clinton had nothing to do with it. It was the decree came down from the Department of the Army.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But by no means are military bases gun-free zone.
I would call that the private pile bill. because they do have to deal with the fact that a lot, you know, there's a portion of people who go into the military or want to go into the military, often who are rejected, but during the Iraq War, obviously they were lowering the standard hugely, allowing people with criminal convictions and histories of mental illness to go in because nobody wanted to go to that war, so that everybody was, you know, there was a big swath of human beings who every other regular soldier was like, that guy's a time bomb.
Yeah.
We have to be away from, and there was enough of that that it's now a statistical probability. But it's interesting though that, gun shows are gun-free zones.
You know? Right.
You can't bring a loaded gun into a gun show. And if you have one, you have to check it. Your own personal gun, you have to leave it at the door, before you come in.
But not if you were in kindergarten.
Interestingly enough, the exact same security measures that they were talking about putting in place to some degree for elementary schools and the like, having armed guards on campus everywhere and arming people, is exactly what was actually in place at this, you know, at this base.
Mm-hmm.
They had armed security.
That's where he got some of the other guns from the armed guys that he killed.
That he killed, right.
All right. 18 minutes after the hour, hump days with Hal Sparks. Off to a rollicking start on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller who is a babe, by the way? I must point this out.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
What if you were to rock and roll all day, part of every night?
That's not what KISS told you to do.
No,
Hey, they're very strict
the
rules.
KISS Army is going to call in an airstrike.
Rocking and
by
partying.
By the way.
They belong in certain...
Hal, did you see...
The circadian rhythm to rocking and partying.
The Gene Simmons criticized Miley Cyrus's tongue thing, and I said Hal Sparks beats both of them.
Thank you.
With the tongue thing.
Yeah. My tongue can actually twerk. I don't want
to... Oh, please don't demonstrate.
No, I can't.
Hello.
Okay. But what can I do with a foam finger?
First of all, what can I do with a foam finger? Let's be completely honest. I went to band camp. Listen.
All right.
I don't know what that means. That's what everyone's thinking. All right. Yeah.
All right. So, Halbert, yes. What you Halbert? Obviously were talking about this latest gun tragedy, yes. And it's just it is like clockwork. The right wing lies. Just mean, immediately, right? It's just there. You can and you know what they're going to say before they say it.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's because it's a sales pitch. Because the reality is, it does not take any time whatsoever for like. They immediately accused the left of coming out and want to take away people's guns or violate the Second Amendment by simply going, if you have 100 drum capacity, you know, 100 round drum capacity on your gun, then that's not for hunting, that's not for self-defense, that's for murder.
Yeah.
And it's and whether it's state-sanctioned murder in the form of a military act, either towards us or away from us, that's an entirely different conversation. But if you can't...
If you need 100 rounds to bring down a deer, hunting's not your
thing. And I don't want to live next to you. Just that's the other thing.
Exactly.
You don't.
Yeah. Buddhism clearly wasn't Aaron Alexis'
no,
right. thing. Yeah.
No. Well, you know, there's always this stuff connecting to Heaven's Gate as well. So there's just nutty stuff sideways about this. Here's the thing. This is a guy with a history of mental illness and of violently acting out on it during bouts of basically, you know, manic and homicidal back and forth. He's very likable at one point and then absolutely flips into shoots a guy's tires for parking in his, in the space in front
of his
house.
Oh, I'm sorry, I had a rage blackout.
Yeah,
I don't really remember it.
Yeah,
can I buy another gun? Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
There you go.
And again, another situation where... When the government used to do their own vetting, when background checks for government security clearance were done by government employees, we didn't have these kind of things. You had oath takers, interviewing future oath takers, and they took that part of it very seriously. And then you've got this, they're outsourcing, the millions of people who have now clearance, they're outsourcing this to another business. And that business, you know, if they got an 82%, success rate, that's fine.
Well,
but
yeah,
this
came up when we talked about, Edward Snowden. That, you know, this is someone that obviously planned to do this before he got in, stole people's clearances that had higher clearances above him. But you're right. This is the contractor issue again.
Exactly. Yeah. The private industry, this whole idea that somehow government can't do a job and private industry always does it better. Keep in mind, private industry vetted Aaron Alexis.
Mm. Yeah.
Private industry. Corporate America. Capitalism. They got a
free
contract.
Market.
The free market reigned. They got the low bid contract to vet people with guns.
The other thing is you can almost hear the thrill in some of the right-wingers' voices yesterday that it's a black guy, finally.
I heard the how come he didn't come out.
Why didn't the president say if he had a son he'd look like Aaron Alexis?
Right.
Because, what?
Because I'll tell you another thing. Because that guy's 34.
If he had said, oh, I'm going to go shoot some white people, then there'd be a racial angle to this.
Absolutely. Then the president would go, the president would have made a statement, I guarantee you, on racial tensions and gone, this is not indicative of what the black community thinks about white people and vice versa, because that has to be addressed.
That's why race wasn't an issue either in Newtown or whatever. It's a crazy guy that happened to be white. This is a crazy guy that happened to be
why
black.
Why didn't he say Idi Amin look like his son? Huh?
Right. And why didn't he shoot anybody younger than him? Everybody you shot was older than him. Why isn't this ageism? Why isn't everybody in their 40s coming out and going, how come a 30-year-old is allowed to have a gun? It's silly.
Don in California, you're on with Hal. Go ahead, Don.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Mooks. I love you all. Listen, thanks. I think I got a solution to all this. Follow me here. The president walks out into the Rose Garden with his family, accompanied by their Secret Service detail, and he announces that he's going to have his family trained by the Secret Service in the use of handguns, machine guns, light anti-tank weapons, whatever they got laying around the old White House there. And then he's going to encourage every other family to follow his lead so that we have everybody armed and everybody's going to be safe so they can all stand their own ground.
That's a great idea.
How fast would the NRA flip? How fast would the RNC flip? I believe Wayne LaPierre would spontaneously combust and turn into a pile of ashes in a pair of shoes.
Right.
Ashes and shoes. Wayne LaPierre says.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, he doesn't say anything anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I think?
Yeah.
flute. Hello, now I'm ashes in shoes.
Well, the you know, again, the issue is as soon as these things happen, there's, you know, they always say there's this opportunistic infection of the left trying to curb gun violence, when really the opposite is true.
Right. Yeah.
The right just drapes themselves in the flag, shackles up, and starts selling for the gun industry.
Uh-huh. Yep. 29 minutes after the hour, more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Who wants my hot black box of coffee?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. It's 34 minutes after the hour. By the way, congratulations.
People
said that you handled my box exquisitely while I was on vacation.
Thank
and
you.
Took best of care of my sound effects box, and
long
I appreciate
distance
it.
Box maker.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And that should that we should you should throw an edit on that to make it a box of wine.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that would work. Right, then go. Then they would really. Yeah, be in line with the meme.
There you go. You hit all the right buttons.
Yes, well, okay. You know, I've had a lot of practice.
Here's the story Jim was talking about. Oh, heavens. It's one of those responsible gun owners we hear so much about.
Yeah.
Father tells six-year-old with 3 years of gun training to lie after shooting his sister in the face.
Yeah.
Say a black guy did it.
Yeah. Well, he actually said...
She's shockingly fine.
Yeah.
She's
really?
Well, he shot... Yeah. He shot it just past her face. He was, right. You know, she got glanced by it, as
God,
it were.
Lousy shot.
But the gun fell. He said, "Tell them that the gun discharged when it fell on the ground."
Uh-huh. Yes, a Wisconsin man facing charges for allegedly telling his six-year-old son, who had at least 3 years of firearm training, to wow. Do you even have the? You have a not a toddler yet, but do you have muscle control at three to hold a shotgun? Really?
No.
Okay. To lie after shooting his 4-year-old sister in the face with a shotgun. Let's see. The 48-year-old father, Fred's his name, told his son to say the shotgun had accidentally gone off when he dropped it, but the son later admitted the father instructed him to lie because he had pointed the gun at the girl and pulled the trigger. The boy told authorities his sister had asked him to aim the shotgun at her. Oh, the game's kids play. But he had made
Daddy's
a mistake.
Daddy's little girl.
He had made the mistake of putting it too close to her ear. A sheriff's office complaint said that the mother told investigators the boy had been training with firearms since the age of 3. She said he had his own .22 caliber rifle.
Great.
Isn't that cute? But he was only allowed to shoot with adult supervision. So at least that's not
so the dad was in the room when he was pointing the gun at his sister's face.
Right.
That's reassuring. And I don't know what kind of training this guy's given, because after 3 years he can't hit her at point blank. What kind of training?
Oh, Hal Louise Sparks. Really? Really?
It's absurd. Really?
The whole situation is ridiculous. That's the point I'm making.
Yesterday, I had to check it was a real thing. There's a Hello Kitty gun.
Yeah.
They, you know, the what's the company, Cricket, that makes in blue for boys and in pink for girls.
Right.
But there is actually a little Hello Kitty, little assault rifle replica.
Right.
Precious?
It's adorable.
That was the cutest mass murder ever.
Right. Mm. My, I was mentioning, you had a caller earlier who was saying that Illinois and Chicago had not had a mass shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, actually. In 1988, a woman named Lori Dann shot 7 people. And I was in high school on that day, and they locked our campus down because at one point she was walking towards the school.
Oh, my gosh.
She'd had a history of mental illness, and she was on antidepressants.
Wow. That blows my theory, because I was saying earlier I think we should ban not only video games and guns, but also men.
Yeah, nope. It was a she.
Nope.
She I believe 7 dead. Including a girl, and then she held up in a house where a girl was babysitting a kid who was home, and that she didn't end up killing them, I think, and then they took her in.
Wow.
But that was there. But here's the thing. That was in place. That happened before the gun laws that are in place in Chicagoland area. The gun violence in Chicago is largely gang-based and rooted much in the same problem you found in South Central Los Angeles during the late 80s, early 90s. It is almost the exact same turf war thing. And this is not mentally ill people getting a high-capacity gun and being able to shoot a lot of people. By the way, that they don't know, one of the things about this AR-15 question is that he had tried to buy one. Aaron Alexis had tried to buy an AR-15 and was denied. That's why he used a shotgun in this situation.
Right.
And had he had an AR-15, he was killing people he did not know. Had he, in an area where there are a lot of people... An AR-15 is a lot more effective at killing a lot of strangers
right.
than a shotgun is. And he would have rather had one, but he couldn't get one.
Yeah.
And had he had one, more people would be dead. Look at the number dead at Sandy Hook.
Yep, that's right. Ernest in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Hal. Hey, Ernest.
Good morning, Stephanie crew. How you guys doing?
Good, go ahead.
I wish we could just challenge this Rush Limbaugh, him and his low information listeners. Him and his cronies over at Fox, I can't understand how they can make statements like it was a gun-free zone when the man goes in and shoots two people, takes their gun, and starts shooting more people with those guns.
I know.
Well, technically, those guns didn't cost him anything. Maybe that's what they meant. He got those guns free by killing someone.
Yes, that's sort of a background check. And then, yes, right.
And I think the only way this Wayne LaPierre is going to stop preaching and pushing guns is when somebody blow his head off with one.
Oh, no.
Here's what I would say to that. Even in the face of gun violence close to them, many of the folks who are this way, look at this guy and his kid. His kid almost killed his sister.
Right.
His toddlers almost shot one another, and this guy isn't going to stop. I mean, he might go to jail for a time. They might take his guns away. But if he's found innocent or it was an accident, and the lying part isn't part of it, or it's just child endangerment, he'll still get to keep a gun.
Yeah.
Because the background, the laws where he is aren't going to affect that at all.
Obviously, he should have got gun training in the womb.
Yeah, shot.
Exactly.
Judging from the family, it sounds like that was they thought about it.
Yeah. Didn't some right winger say that just when we think we're saying something ridiculous in the name of comedy? A right winger had said that fetuses should be armed to stop abortion,
right?
So that, because they presumably could shoot
if fetuses
their way
were born
out of the womb.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Really.
Okay. Michael,
right.
Chicago. Hi, Michael. You're on with Hal.
Hi, Steph. Hi, Hal. Hi, Mooks. I was thinking about, they used to name hurricanes after the place that the hurricane hit.
Mm-hmm.
It was the hurricane that hit Biloxi. And then they went and they changed it. First they changed it to women's names, and then they changed it. They have a list. It could be Hurricane Al and then Hurricane Betty and whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that, what they've been doing with these mass shootings, they name them after, they become known as the place where the shooting happened.
Right.
Aurora, Colorado shooting. It's not Aurora, Colorado's fault that somebody got a gun and went nuts in there. They should name them after the people that caused them. They should name them after the Congress people or the candidates for Congress who take all the NRA money.
The district. It's not a bad idea.
Right.
Or the gun shop where they bought the stuff. Because they were sold those things in person most of the time when they didn't buy them over the internet. I thought you were leading towards naming them after the shooter. And the reason that they actually do name them by the place is because they wanted to stop, at Columbine. They wanted people to
copycat.
Do it. Right.
Yeah. Right. By the way, you missed my frenzy in the first hour about our quote-unquote liberal media when Jim Acosta of CNN asked the Jay Carney yesterday, what was the question exactly? Is the president concerned all these shootings, on his watch that he's, failed to... What? The implication it's President Obama's fault.
He's failed to put through.
Right. Because the president, has been so pro-gun and is so clearly, don't you think the president should be concerned
why
that all these...
Why hasn't he fixed all the problems?
Why hasn't he stopped video games?
Thanks, Obama.
By the way, can I just go on the record and say I play a decent amount of Call of Duty and when we were making... the first record for 01, we were Halo maniacs during the entire thing of it. And nobody in my circle, my band, my group of friends would ever think of shooting another person for any other reason than self-defense, and even then I think we would be the kind that would hesitate. So the idea that somehow We're not even almost kids in video games. That's a concept yeah. worth talking about because just like movies, I think there's a you know an unformed brain
yeah,
deserves
my
a chance.
My psychologist friend said that to us on the air that yeah that there is
slow it yeah right. ease it up. I totally agree. But
right, and is that a parenting issue?
Like, yes, it is. What, right. As long as you're engaging,
their 13-year-olds sit there for 45 hours in a row playing a violin. You know.
I played a lot of Pitfall as a kid, and that didn't make me want to swing on vines.
right, but it wasn't nearly. It was 8-bit, and it's the engaging yeah, elements. engaging element of being in these video games is very, you know, it is very engaging. It pulls you in.
Yeah,
and when your frontal lobe isn't fully built yet, or you are mentally ill, it may affect you differently. Now, in this guy's case, he, you know, he played a lot of this stuff, but he had had a history of violence pre this.
Yeah, actual violence. Right.
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 I played a lot of Q-Bert in the break room at Universal Studios, and I still haven't killed anyone with a...
By going Q-Bert
with a spring.
But if you stack boxes at your house, Jim is all over them.
Yes.
The only one I can remember is Pac-Man.
Yes.
That's it?
I think that did make me bulimic for a while. But anyway.
Right. I'm sure you played Ms. Pac-Man.
Right. Right.
Ms.
Because you like the ladies.
the confirmed bachelorette.
Well, I have
What?
I bet you
could have
killed
somebody
with a guitar.
Right. Yes,
like a 1950s Les Paul.
Yeah, right. Use it as a bat. Right.
Lady Pac-Man made me gay. All right. Hal.
Yes.
All right. When we come back, we wanted to talk about, we talked to Representative Moran, Jim Moran, about Syria this morning, and we were talking about, it is hilarious that on cue, Jim Roberts tweeted, among others, Iran confirms exchange of letters with Obama, rare contact between leaders. Mm-hmm. And on cue, Lindsey Graham has a resolution to bomb Iran.
Right.
Because he didn't get his war in Syria that he apparently was hoping for.
We cannot get to peace. It is not financially possible under their budgetary process. This is the only way we make money is by selling arms to other countries that we later blow up.
Right. Someone sent me this and said, when Iran agrees to get rid of nuclear weapons, stop enriching uranium, we'll doubtless hear that Lucky Barack has once again stumbled into a diplomatic triumph.
This whole Syria thing
Woodward
was lucky.
Said it on Meet the Press. Well, this is just more dumb Obama luck. Really? Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I hope he actually believes that.
Yeah.
Because, we'll talk about it when we come back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just like Woody Allen would say, just hope that thought. Just, okay.
Hang on to it, you know, both hands.
Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, back with Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Whoa, that was cool!
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I said, are you gonna be my girl?
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 49 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12 in the midst of Hump Days with Hal Sparks. Hal Sparks,
you
had some thoughts on the president stalled a bunch of stumble bums.
Yeah.
That just stumbled into a stunning diplomatic breakthrough with Syria without firing a shot.
Right. If you look at the Syria strategy, forgetting what we're getting out of it, which is Syria entering into the chemical weapons ban, and Russia doing it for us.
Yes.
Interesting. Like even our guys don't have to carry the stuff in big white suits. You know, they don't have to don spacesuits and American soldiers. No boots on the ground.
Yeah.
Maybe some Russian boots on the ground.
Yeah.
Maybe. And like we said when David Bender was here with me and we had Lee Camp on, just boots. That's what we think we should do.
Right.
Just airdrop boots. Just send boots to all these countries. Here, have some shoes. And but in this case, the Syria thing. This is what you would want from this situation. Most lefties, especially, and a lot of, quite frankly, libertarian-esque and Tea Partiers don't want another war there. They want us to not be the quote-unquote policemen of the world. They want the UN to do their job and actually serve something if they don't want to blow up the 10th floor of it or whatever, John Bolton style. Or it's the 10 floors of it. It's not just the 10 floors. The top 10 floors.
Right.
But that being said, there is no way this doesn't get looked back on like a solid presidential strategy for an actual peaceful resolution to a very bad...
In the history books, this will be different than...
You'll look back exactly like this, and this will look like something we look back on, you know, Eisenhower or Lyndon Johnson go, you know, there was this interesting moment where things could have gone horribly wrong, and they managed to right it by doing this. And somebody else said about Reagan, Reagan would have come in there, he never would have let this happen, he would have bulldozed in there, whatever, and he would have used strength, and that would have been his way of doing it. By the way, the turning point, according to the mythology of the right up till now, was that Ronald Reagan, and Anthony Robbins tells this story, Ronald Reagan in his meeting with Mikhail Gorbachev stopped in the middle of all this contentious fighting and said, let's start from this. My name's Ron, and shook his hand. He did not operate through a position of posturing only.
Right.
He opened up a big diplomatic channel with somebody who would perceive as wanting to kill us. There is no difference in our feeling towards Iran right now than our feelings towards Russia in the mid-'80s.
Yep.
None. They're going to kill us. They're trying to build nukes. The nukes are always pointed at us. They're pointed at our allies. This is going to turn into World War III.
He's the Gorbachev of Iran.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, this guy could be the Gorbachev of Iran. And if we miss that opportunity, we doom ourselves to a Putin-esque future in the Soviet Union for the next two decades.
Right. All right. So we were talking all morning about this Aaron Alexis, this latest shooter.
Right.
And my contention that serial killers always live next to the dumbest people in the world.
Seemed like a nice
The neighbors family. Are always like, he's a Buddhist. He seemed nice. Okay, he delivered my Padwin Sen nice and hot. I don't know, just whatever. But this is
he carried a gun at the restaurant he worked at. He had he holstered a gun all the time.
Yes, except for the fact that he was drunk much of the time and had a gun and used it to
and had shot through
up
his
various
ceiling.
Tires. Yeah, right. The woman upstairs is making too much noise and he shoots through the ceiling and is like, oh, I was just cleaning it.
I was just cleaning my gun.
Yeah. In the clearing of this guy for service, I understand that you go, well, he doesn't have a criminal record. Is anybody asking him, you know, have you had any violent episodes or anything to be construed as violent episodes? Or do you have
any gunplay sort
of situation? Considering you're going to be a top secret clearance, be working
I've never had any violent episodes.
Right.
So shut up.
Yeah, he admittedly said, oh, I was in a rage blackout. I don't really remember it. Can I have my gun back? Anyway,
let
this be a lesson because oftentimes neighbors, you know, disputes go awry. Toothless man bites neighbor's penis like a sandwich.
Well, at least he was toothless.
Like a sandwich? You mean crust first? Or did he cut it in half?
Jason Martin has been found guilty.
Packed it in foil.
For biting the penis of his neighbor, Richard Henderson, during an argument over loud Xbox music.
The weirdest thing
was the guy's penis doing out in order to bite it?
They were at a Subway and he was putting toppings on it. I'll have
they were not at a Subway.
No
green
jalapenos. Black olives. Double meat.
Double meat.
Henderson apparently sent Martin a text asking him to turn it down the music. And the fight escalated in person when Martin, who only has one tooth...
Was the music bouncy-go-wow-wow? Was he just hearing the guy's porn through
Henderson's penis so hard it required stitches, a combination of a headlock and Henderson wearing pajamas made it all possible. He told the jury, I only have a couple of teeth in the lower part of my mouth. I can't even bite into a hard-boiled egg. I am not a homosexual. There's no way I would put a man's penis in my mouth.
Wait, how?
Even the thought of it makes me sick. He was asked to show the jury his lack of teeth, saying he had dentures but only used them for cosmetic reasons.
Yeah.
He added,
he doesn't want to think the person whose penis he is biting to think he's unattractive.
Right.
Put my dentures in. I'm going to
but
go
he's not gay.
Bite the
he's
guy.
Not yeah. homosexual.
Well,
okay.
That I believe. That you know, because gay people, gay men are more loving towards a fellow male's penis. They are respectful of it.
I was lucky the guy only had one tooth.
This is hostility.
Penis.
This is not gay at all.
Okay. He said, I accept I did grab his testicles, but not maliciously.
Wait a minute.
Okay. Just in a way that you grab your
buddy's balls. I almost slipped and fell.
Sure.
Like, hey, hey.
Oh, sorry.
I need something
but not in a gay way. Right.
Right. Not maliciously or to hurt him badly. So not in a malicious way or a gay way. But he did grab them.
Right. Sure. And kind of like a governmental contractor kind of a way. Right. Like I've been hired temporarily to do this.
He
like laying asphalt.
He fell into my mouth.
Yeah. He went to the neighbor's house because he thought the complaint was unfair and grabbed Mr. Henderson, who then tried to ram his head into a metal staircase.
How'd you do?
This is the worst foreplay ever. It was just a rat bite, he said. I grabbed into an area. I grabbed into an area. I didn't realize at the time it was his testicles.
Sure, right.
The judge said, you must have felt his penis and testicles in your hand.
Martin, the air.
This took
20
minutes.
Hang on.
Sorry.
Martin replied, I didn't know if it was his penis or his testicle or his upper leg or arm. Oh, he is not
wow. Or that guy is amazing.
Like, I didn't know what it was. I was just getting beaten up and I was scared. Henderson, when asked about the experience of getting his penis bitten by a toothless man while wearing pajamas, responded, my willy was not attached to the rest of my body. I've never experienced that kind of pain to this day, and I don't want to experience it ever again.
Technically, he couldn't bite
Thank God
if he
there
doesn't
was not
have
a
teeth,
gun.
Right? He was nomming. He nommed him. You can't nom somebody to death. That's why the first thing in a zombie apocalypse you want to find is a dentist. Just follow that guy around, he'll knock their teeth out, and then don't worry.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well.
Lorena Bobbitt has nothing on that guy.
No.
That guy, yeah.
No, if you're going to have your penis bit in a neighborhood.
You want
dispute,
a toothless guy.
Right, you want a guy with one tooth.
Tell where things are.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of a good news, bad news situation there.
You're right. The good news
the silver
is
lining.
There's a man biting on your penis.
Not the gay way or a malicious way.
No.
All right, that's it. We're going to end on that because what can you...
Yeah,
what
on no
that?
Teeth.
Nothing?
I mean, that's pretty
do you
much...
have anything you want
absolutely.
To...
Absolutely. October 7th at the House of Blues, my band is opening for Steel Panther. I know it's a work night for you guys, but you have to come down. 10 o'clock, October 7th, 01. I know.
Great.
It's going to rock. You have to do it.
Totally.
It's going to happen.
All right, October that's it 7th. For us. I love you, House Parks. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.